Well, it's lovely to be with you this morning, and thank you and your minister for your kind welcome and his kind words of welcome this morning. I say my name is David Bissett. I'm married to Janice. We have one daughter, Emma, who's nine, and we are presently working for the Belfast City Mission in our hall in Ballybean. I have a short multimedia presentation to show you this morning. Before I do, I want to apologize in advance. I have two rather young but rather mischievous videographers in our hall who put together the multimedia presentation, and they like to catch some of the leaders in particular in embarrassing situations. And I noticed that one in particular is more mischievous than the other, because he has one or two of his mates' mischievous escapades over this past year or so on, but none of himself, surprisingly, this morning. But it does show you and gives you a trust, will give you a trust, a little flavour of the work in the hall in Ballybean. And we were having one or two problems with it. So I'm praying that, as usual, technology is good when it's working. So I'm praying this morning that that the presentation will work. So I trust now that the guys at the back will show it for us. Thank you.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. I want to stand true, no matter what's new or comes through. I can't stand still. Whatever hits, I'll keep making movements to you. I wanna be, come move in me. Fight in me. I'm running fast. the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Send your children.
I want to take the opportunity to thank the minister, Reverend Moody, the session of the church, and you as a congregation for your faithful prayers and support of the work of the Belfast City Mission. We in Ballybean are a busy hall in the second largest housing estate in Northern Ireland with a dedicated band of hard-working, faithful workers who I can assure you aren't always larking about in the way that you've seen in parts of the video. Our weekly activities, as you got something of a flavour of, include Sunday school, boys brigade, girls brigade, youth club. Something that wasn't really on it is a new venture called SOAR, which is a youth fellowship type work that was set up for high school age young people, and I'll speak a little bit about that just a little bit later on. And then also on a Thursday night, some of the older ladies meet for a time of what they call craft and crack. Our main adult weekly meetings are our Sunday evening gospel service on Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock. And our Tuesday evening is taken up with Bible study on our prayer meeting, which meets at 7:30. We also hold a special week of prayer in January and several half nights of prayer throughout the year. We also, as you saw in September, before really all the organizations get fully up and running into full swing again, we go away, it's as a hall for the weekend. This year we went up to the Ballyhome Residential Centre just outside Portrush, and we had a real time of blessing, not only fun, but time of blessing, and the sessions that we met together as a body. Just for worship and also to around God's word, where special times is a good way to start a new session, and that was a real blessing. Since my arrival in January 2014, two of our young adults who also are responsible for the video presentation you've just seen, Andrew and David, set up our hall Facebook page, and I know Facebook can be a good thing and it can also be a bad thing, and it can be something that can consume too much of our time, but it can be a good thing if we're using Facebook rather than allowing Facebook to use us. If you don't know what Facebook is, it basically allows us to have a page on the internet where we can show what's going on in the hall, and also use it as a tool to share the gospel as well. And we use it for both those things. We put up photographs of what we've been doing, videos of what we've been doing, and also flyers for what's coming up, and also gospel texts, and also presentations of the gospel in video form that we pick up from YouTube and other places that have been and are being used to witness to the over 200 people that have liked that Facebook page currently. And so if you are on Facebook yourselves, please feel free to like the Belfast City Mission Ballybean page. And you can see what we get up to and what we're trying to do through the means of multimedia. Through this medium, we've been able to raise the profile and awareness of the hall and its work, and thus our Facebook page has helped to see the sizable numerical growth of our Sunday school, our boys' brigade, our girls' brigade, and our youth club. And people have actually commented, the parents that have brought their children, that they became aware of us, what we were doing through the Facebook page. The highlight of each year in Ballybean, and what most of us look forward to, is our joint Girls Brigade and Boys Brigade camp, which is held annually in August. Up until last year, we went to Southport near Blackpool, and we camped out in the Church of England building in the centre of Southport. But unfortunately, that was no longer available to us. So this year, for the first time, the only church that got back to us was a church, Cornerstone Church, in Southend-on-Sea, which also happens to be where one of my sisters lives as well. So it was good to be over there. This year, 42 leaders and young people included in that 42 are the young people and the leaders. We headed to Southend-on-Sea for a week's camp, where we camped out as they in this local church, Cornerstone, that was kindly granted to us. As I say, we contacted a whole load of churches. They were the only one to reply. And yet the church itself is a brand new church in Southend-on-Sea. It's only opened itself about 3 years. And so we were so thankful to God that such a church as that, with tremendous facilities, even had the leaders had a shower, a male shower and a female shower this year. So it was tremendous from what we were used to even in the previous years. And we are so thankful to that church for opening up to us. During the latter part of that week of camp back in August, four of our girls, brigade girls, came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and one rededicated her life to the Lord. On the Thursday evening session, one of our officers in the boys' brigade spoke, Brian Martin, and the Holy Spirit really was in evidence as Brian spoke on that particular evening. And as we used to say when I trained in the faith mission, there was real grip in that meeting. The children just sat transfixed and listened. And as a result of that, these girls came to faith, and one rededicated her life to the Lord. So please pray for these girls. One or two were afraid about going back home and telling her parents that they had came to faith. So pray for Amy, Emily, Erin, Holly, and Evie rededicated her life to the Lord. Her father is a Christian, but the other girls come from homes where their parents are not Christian. So pray for Amy, Emily, Erin, and Holly. And as a result of those four young girls coming to faith and what we saw begun at camp, as a result of that, four of our young 20-somethings in the hall, Jennifer, Stephanie, Andrew, and David, were led of the Lord to start the new youth fellowship venture that I was talking about in the hall for high school age young people, particularly to disciple those who were recently converted at camp, and for other young people who were clearly interested in learning more about the gospel and what it means to be a Christian, something where they could come along and where they could hear more and learn more, and those who had trusted the Lord could go deeper with the Lord. And it meets on a Sunday every third week in the month. And it began with 10 in attendance and is already growing in number. Our SOAR youth group and their leaders are taking our service tonight at 7 p.m. in the hall. So please pray for them as they do that. Their leaders have taken youth services in the hall before, but for the young people, for many of them, this will be their very first time standing up at the front to be involved in a service. So pray for that, please. Please pray for one of our older lads in the Boys Brigade. He's doing his Queen's Badge at the minute. His name is Thomas. Pray for Thomas in particular, who we believe is very, very near the kingdom. He was talking to one of our leaders at camp, and he revealed his interest in eventually becoming a BB officer. When the leader told him that we only accept officers who are saved in our company, he said he knew that that was the case, and he was thinking a lot about it. And he was reading his Bible, even though he was telling us of an incident where he had some friends up in his room, and they found the Bible, and they were mocking him. And he said, no, you put that back in the drawer because I read that. And he rebuked his friends for mocking the Bible and for mocking him. Thomas continues to ask many interesting questions. And again, this is another reason why I think it's so good that we're able to use our Facebook page to share the gospel as well. Because there's a number of overtly gospel-centered texts and gospel-centered little video clips that I've put up. And Thomas has obviously been looking at them and watching them. He's even liked them. So I say, the Lord is at work in Thomas's life and in Thomas's heart. And he continues to ask many interesting questions, even asking me recently on a youth club outing by car how I got involved in Christian work. And he's also currently a junior helper in our youth club as part of his Queen's Badge work for BB. Please pray for Thomas, because I believe the Lord is working in his heart and life, and he is very near the kingdom. Plans and preparations are already well underway for Boys Brigade and Girls Brigade Camp again, DV in Southend on Sea in August 2016. And as a whole, we try to provide the necessary funds for several children whose families cannot afford to send their children to camp for various reasons. Obviously, in a large working class housing estate, there are various issues. There are the issue of alcoholism. There is the issue as well of one-parent families. And there are a whole plethora of other issues that mean that there are families within our community that are needy and families who would love to send their children to camp but can't afford to. And so as much as possible, we try to help them. And I just want to give you two examples of this. The first is a young girl who's also a friend of my daughter, Beth. She's just a year older than my daughter. She's 10. And she is in a single parent. She is from a single parent family. Her mother has two other children. One that's just, I think, about 2 years of age. And the other one, Jude, is coming up now to the age where he is of age to go to camp. And we were asking Beth, she's a lovely little girl. The way I would term it is you could just take her home with you. A lovely little girl, quiet, and very appreciative of everything that we do for her. I was asking her, will she go into camp? And this is what she told me. She said, I'll not be able to go to camp anymore. I've had my turn. It's my younger brother Jude's turn. And so she was making clear to us that she wasn't going to be able to go anymore, that now, because Jude was coming of age, that he would be able to go and that she wouldn't. And so we want to be able to allow these children to go to camp. And so one way or another, we will provide, God willing, for Beth and her brother to be able to go to camp. And so we're always trying to, as we visit the families in their homes, which we do on a regular basis, we're trying just to ascertain where there's genuine need and where we can help. Because as you've seen from the work that we do at camp, it's not just a case of taking them to the theme parks. It's not just a case of having fun with them, playing rounders and larking about a little bit. It's also about preaching the gospel of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to them. And that's what we do in our evening sessions. And the Lord has used that in that concentrated time as we speak the faith and as we live the faith out before them, of drawing them unto himself. And also then, there's Thomas. Something I didn't say earlier was that Thomas's father, Tommy, has a brain tumor, just recently been diagnosed with a brain tumor. And again, there's financial difficulties in that home where Thomas would not be able to afford to go to camp. And again, he's another that we're looking to provide for so that he can go to camp again next year. And pray as well for Thomas's brother. We're having a bit of bother with Thomas's brother at our youth club on a Friday night, Josh. And he really is at the stage where he's skating on thin ice. We had to bar a couple last year because it was getting to the stage where we're spending all our night concentrating on them and very little time concentrating on the kids that we're getting involved fully with what we're doing at youth club and not causing major problems. And we had in the end to come to the sad decision where we had to bar them for good. We barred them for a week here and there. It didn't work. We had to bar them for good. And Joshua, sadly, is getting to the stage where we're going to have to bar them for good. It's not what we want to do. We're a little bit concerned because obviously we have this good relationship, even with the father at the minute. But the father's not saved, man. And obviously we're building this relationship and this contact with Thomas as well, and we don't want to disturb what God is doing in Thomas's life either. So please, I would value prayer for that situation in particular. We're so thankful to God for the provision of the hall in Ballybean almost 40 years ago, and for what the Lord has done throughout the years. In the halls, you saw there, we're coming up to our 40th anniversary in the hall next year in March. And we just want to give glory to God for all that the Lord has done, right from the very start through the work and throughout the most of the years through the work of Mr. Ernie Shooter, and then for a short time, Mr. John Martin. And I'm so thankful to have the help and support of the faithful workers in the hall. Many of them have been involved with whether it's the Sunday School, the BB, the GB, almost right from they began, right from their inception. They've been officers, and they're still officers today. And what we see, as it were, on a parade night or at a camp in the summer or at a GB and BB display is just the surface. They give so much of their time in the background so that all that can come about. And they have expertise that I don't have within the hall. And I'm so thankful for those faithful leaders that are the very backbone of all that we do in the hall. And in closing, I want us to briefly turn our minds, our thoughts, and our hearts towards the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9 reminds us, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. And it reminds us, doesn't it, that we are not about the work of building our own little empires, but we are fellow workers for Him, together with a vision for mission, for building God's kingdom through Him where He has placed us. The Bible tells us in Jude 1 and verse 23, save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even a garment stained by the flesh. And the truth of the matter is, we may not all be called, as it were, to climb the ladder into the burning building to go and rescue those trapped by the flames. But we can be the support crew, and we can hold the ladder for those who do climb up and into the burning building to rescue those who are trapped in the flames. And spiritually speaking and practically speaking, we can do that by our praying, by our encouragement, and by our giving. And we are so thankful. I can't say it enough in the Belfast City Mission generally, and in Ballybean in particular, for the many who do support, pray, encourage us, and give to the work so faithfully, so regularly. Thank you most sincerely from the bottom of my heart. John 15 and 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. God has chosen and called us to bear fruit, abiding fruit, fruit that will remain. But to see such fruit, whether it be here in Brookside, in Ahakal, or in Belfast, or in Ballybean, to see such fruit requires complete reliance upon God, prayerfulness, faithfulness, holiness of life, faithful proclamation of the gospel of Christ through repentance and faith in him, and also the discipling of others in their walk with Christ. We in Ballybean are committed through God to seeing fruit, seeing abiding fruit, fruit that will remain by God and by his power. And God's word this morning gives us hope. It gives us hope that even from small beginnings, the gospel can and will grow, flourish, and thrive. Matthew 13, 31 to 33 that we read earlier. He put another parable before them saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened." Please pray for us and support us in the work of the City Mission and in the work in Ballybean. And I trust and pray you also as a church here in Ahakal will be filled with the hope of God's word, that you also can and will grow, flourish and thrive, for God in Christ has promised, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We are a little mission hall in a vast estate. We rejoiced on Sunday night at our joint BB and GB enrollment. We had 140 in the hall. Our hall was bursting at the seams. And mainly unsaved young people and unsaved parents and grandparents, families were in to support their young people. And the gospel was faithfully proclaimed. But even yet, we're so conscious that the vast majority remain outside the doors of the hall. And that's why we continue to go out. We're not only working in the hall, we go around the doors. We knock on the doors, we speak to the people. We visit in the homes. But yet we go with hope that even from small seed, God, through his Spirit, is able to come and he's able to make that small seed grow. And what starts off small, he is able to build upon so that it becomes a large tree, so that the birds of the air come and rest in its branches. And we pray that what began small in Ballybean would grow and spread so that others, as they hear the message of the gospel that's proclaimed in and out of the hall, will be drawn not merely into a hall, but will be drawn to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and grow as his disciples to then go out and live and speak for him in Ballybean and the surrounding environs. And what is my prayer for Ballybean would be my prayer for here and wherever I go, that God, under God, though we begin small, that the work of God would prosper and flourish and grow and spread through his people being faithful to that great commission that he has given each and every one of us. Amen.